from Raleigh, North Carolina, it's The Leftovers with Jay and Jab, a podcast dedicated to HBO's The Leftovers. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Leftovers with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm the Bellamy Brothers.
And welcome to the show. How are you doing, Jack?
I screwed that up, didn't I?
You
Bellamy
did.
Brothers.
Bellamy Brothers. Who are the Bellamy Brothers again?
They're the ones that sing that song.
Oh, okay.
There's a reason.
That is, I mean, that's an older song, so I think that's like more...
It's a music a generation is crying for.
Your era of music that nobody wants to listen
to. Well, to be fair, I had to look it up. You didn't like this. You don't like the song.
It was all right. I mean, I think it was appropriate just in terms of like giving context to, you know, the scenes and everything. I thought it was a nice add-on. Like, they've done really well, I think, with the music selection this season.
You know what upsets me, though?
Yeah.
Because we get these tweets from DMs or PMs. What are they? DM, PMs, and Twitter? Whatever they are.
Private message and direct message.
Whatever it is. We get these messages from The Leftovers.
Uh-huh.
Certain things that's coming up on the next episode. If they would have tweeted me who the episode was about, how it was starting out, and what we got, I would have figured out. I figured out like 5 minutes into the thing. I go, ah, because I put on there. They sent us a sonogram. I said, Nora.
Okay.
I put Nora question mark, but I go, when I go, I go, oh my God, how is she? Oh, when she woke up.
Yeah.
Boom. If they would have sent me this like a week ago, before our last recording, and just said, I could have had the greatest crackpot theory in the history of crackpot
theory. But see, now that would be like an Alex Rodriguez, you know, greatest crackpot theory, because sure, but it would have had performance enhancing crackpot theory drugs.
I didn't know that was illegal to film that or report that.
that would have been your Belichick moment in your crackpot history.
I was walking around going, I got the theory right there. That's all right. That's too bad. I just win, baby.
He does. I mean, it's just,
well, it's like I sit there and watch. I got to go to Baltimore this week. My wife and I went to Baltimore, Cindy and I, and watched the game there. And just, it's the little mistakes that the Patriots don't make.
Yeah, it's true.
The Chargers make the same. They'll make us just, and you sit there and go, I like said, I don't like Rivers. I would just be, if I was that talented and working with these guys, it just, and the injury problems, like 12 guys going down. I guess at 13, I guess Oliver got hurt too. I didn't know he got hurt. So 13 guys got hurt. But anyway, this is a leftover podcast.
Yes, let's not talk about depressing things like
the Chargers departed.
It's the roles have been reversed when the Chargers are the more depressing topic than the Leftovers.
This was an interesting.
It was a good episode
because I rewatch it. Yeah, I rewatch it before we record.
Uh huh.
Take notes, and your mom's like going. I go. She goes, I don't want to watch this show. She says this every time, then she sits there and watches it. And she goes,
you're on the road. Did you watch it on your laptop then, I'm guessing?
Or? Yeah, I watched it last night at the hotel on my laptop. And then she goes, I don't want to watch this show. And I go, you know, you're watching the show. She goes, well, it's the only thing on. But she has these books. She's reading her. She's been getting all these books on iPad and her iPad. Mm-hmm. Download and reading books nonstop. I go, you could read your book. She goes, no, I don't want to watch it. And then she's asking me questions about what's going on. Mm-hmm. I go, just watch the show. You'd like it.
The
acting is fantastic. It's amazing.
It's top notch. The strength of the season continues with an episode that focuses on Matt Nathanson. We'll get that into a second with our Leftovers recap. Before we do that, I want to take a second to thank you, the listeners that make these shows possible for everybody over at patreon.com/Jay and Jack. Our patrons are what make this possible. We're over 90 patrons now. Which is fantastic. Isn't that fantastic, Jack?
It is so fantastic.
And I believe we are almost at $650 per month, which is great. Well on our way to our first goal of a live Marion Man show with Jay, Jack, and Worm Taffy, which should be fun. And Jack's Wild Ride is after that, where we'll release Jack's Naked Zamboni Driving.
My Wild Wide.
The Wild Wide.
Put them up.
Love brings us together.
Will bring us together.
But big thanks to all the patrons that make that possible. If you'd like to become a patron today, you can at you can go to janejack.com. There's a link there. Or go to patreon.com/janejack, patreon.com/janejack, JAYANDJACK. And there's a lot of cool things that we do for the people that do pledge and patron for the show. And you can check out that full list over at the Patreon page. And you can click on that link at janejack.com, JAYANDJACK.com, as well as see all the posts for our great shows and subscribe to all of the other shows that we do, like The Married Man Show, Ramblecast, Amazing Race, and Amazing Race with Jack and Cindy. Is it Cindy and Jack or Jack and Cindy? Jack and Cindy?
It's Jack and Cindy. I finally get top billing.
Then you have Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. Sports Talk with Three Super Guys. Walking Dead with Three Super Guys. I mean, really a fantastic amount of content we're putting out there. It's a fantastic amount. I don't know if it's actually fantastic content. But
yeah, I don't go too crazy. Just say, yeah, there's some podcasts to choose from.
Yes, there is. And they're
it might be the safest way to do it other than going, hey, they're amazing podcasts.
They're all available on iTunes. Which you can go subscribe today.
And Stitcher, right? They're on Stitcher?
I think the whole enchilada is on Stitcher. Yes, you can subscribe today. There you go. There's the plug. All right.
And give me 5 stars. Just me.
Or all of the podcasts.
No, just me.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, Jack, are you ready to get into the leftovers recap? We have a recap. We have some listener feedback. Listener feedback starting to build up steam here, which is awesome. And do you have a crackpot theory of the week, or did you get some insider videotaped information or something?
I have a crackpot theory that I wish I would have got the information ahead of time. I don't care. But I think it's still, like I said, 5 minutes in the episode, I go, oh, that's who it is. I don't want to spoil anyone that hasn't seen the episode yet and it's just now listening to the podcast.
Wait. I would hope that wouldn't be the case, because you're going to get spoiled. Either way, let's go to the leftovers recap. Leftovers recap. Leftovers recap. Leftovers recap. All right, it's leftovers recap time. We had a new episode titled No Room at the Inn, which I thought was a very appropriate title when all things were said.
I agree.
And done. So we start out with Matt watching a video of his wife overnight. He starts his morning of taking care of his wife ritual while with your lover. Was that the title of the episode? I just remember that was said over and over and over again. So we have a day in the life of Matt Nathanson. Takes his wife to a grocery store, makes her meal, goes to bed, watches the laptop recording again.
Oh, he kisses his wife.
Kisses
says,
his wife,
I love
good
you.
Night. And he wakes up, the Groundhog Day repeats.
Yeah.
Passes out pamphlets for the missing girls, goes to bed again, and repeats again. And Matt seems more and more dejected as...
He keeps playing the Bellamy Brothers song.
But I don't know if you're a fan of Groundhog Day or not, but it seemed like a little bit of a callback to that too, because he's kind of repeating it over and over again.
Definitely Groundhog Day.
And he calls out Mary to please look at him. I don't get why you came back and went away again.
I thought he was going to kill her.
He plays the day over and over again, so that's why he's doing the same stuff every single day.
Right.
For 3 hours you were awake. Is this a test? This isn't fair. You can't give it to me, then take it back again. Look at me.
And he goes, look at me. I was frightened for Mary there. I'm not going to lie.
But you can. I mean, I give Matt all the credit. I mean, it's not easy, you know.
No, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying at that point, I thought maybe he had just lost it because he was doing the same thing over and over and over and over. And you could just see each time he was getting more frustrated.
Yeah.
When he was doing it, you could just see it was like I said.
So you thought Matt was going to kill her? That's kind of dark. It seems out of character.
We don't know a lot about Matt, do we?
Yeah, he seems like a fairly pious individual.
What are you talking about? This guy was like throwing people under the bus season one.
Yes, but remember he wanted to save his church, and I don't know.
If you watch the thing again, each time he did it, at first he's like, "There's a reason." He's all peppy, but maybe listening to that song over and over again was getting to him because
I think
by
it's
the third
song, really, it's not so
by
much
the third
the
or fourth time he's like, "That's when he grabbed her. Look at me." He was frustrated. He was angry, and I'm not saying it's right. But I'm saying at first, I go, is he going to kill her? No, don't do it, Matt. Josh Lyman would be very upset.
Then we have our fantastic opening theme for season two. We come out of that, and Matt is trying to leave Miracle for an appointment for Mary. But they're letting visitors through, and as he's waiting, runners run over the bridge. One guy
shout out to Logan's Run.
Runner.
Would you think that? I think someone's I'm guessing someone on the running staff is a fan of Logan's Run.
Yeah.
We have runners. I mean, that's Logan's Run.
Or maybe they're just running, and that seems to be the easiest thing to say.
No, I think it's Logan's Run.
So one guy gets tased, but one makes it through. He's like, go, go.
Well, Matt gets out of his car. Sir, get back in your car. Okay. I don't want to cause any problems.
At the doctor's, he's there at the doctor to find out if there's any different brain development. She goes through a CT scan. He's going pee and gets a call on his cell phone. I also like that his ring is Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah chorus.
You know, there's a 5-second rule, and Matt waited well over 5 seconds to grab his phone.
It's your own pee. What's the big deal? Like, he looked at it and got scared. Just take it out of the toilet.
You jump in, you grab it, you put it in some rice. Just don't eat the rice later on. But, you know, just...
At least it was that and not number two. That's the more, okay.
You really think so?
Let it go.
No, I'm going to say it's the number one would be worse because...
Why?
The number two, you could kind of avoid it.
It depends. It depends on what level of number two it is. There's different levels.
If it's liquefied number two,
let it go.
That's a lost cause. If you go in there real quick, woof, just wash your hands real quick. But then somebody goes, "You want to borrow my phone?" Sure. Go ahead. He just looked at it.
Yeah. The worst was in my Apple days. People would bring in. We called them a toilet phone. And they would hand you the phone and then tell you they dropped it in the toilet. Like, really? Come on, man. Not cool. Anywho, he leaves when the nurses call him back. And we find out that she is pregnant because they wanted to sign a waiver.
I like the guys basically accusing him of rape.
Well, I mean, you look at it from the outside, right?
You have to.
That's like just the assumption.
Well, he goes, you know, since...
It's like, you need to sign this waiver because she couldn't give consent to it. You get my meaning?
You get my meaning that she was not capable of giving consent.
And he says, I would never do that. She was awake.
Oh, no, she was awake. But no one believes it because no one's, you know, you see how she is.
Yeah.
And
do you believe it?
You know, it's, well, later on, maybe we should wait till we get to that part later on.
Okay. So he leaves to drive back to Miracle. He's very excited because they've tried for 10 years and... You know, nothing could ever happen, and this is why this happened.
The thing that's crazy is Matt's talking like it's, and the guy's looking at him like, dude, I'm thinking you raped your wife.
Yeah.
And Matt's not, he's just so happy because, you know, she couldn't do it. Miracle is a great place, and you just want Matt to get a break.
Yeah. And that's where, personally, I believe that she was awake, or at least was able to connect with him in some way. I don't know. But it seems... There, she is conscious on some level,
right?
Because there's some other stuff later in this episode. But he pulls over for a guy that was having car trouble. Again, Matt,
allegedly.
Gullible Matt.
Matt's a man of God. Matt's a man of God, and he believes in helping people.
I know.
This season, he believes in helping people. He got hit. Was it last year? He got hit over the head last season when he had all that money. You think he'd learn.
It's what I'm saying. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
But, you know, I think Matt's a trusting, caring person. I think he wants to help people.
No,
I think he truly wants to help people.
Well, that's just it. That's why I think him killing Mary would be out of character, because that's truly what he's trying to do.
But I think, I agree, but I just for that second, I thought he snapped.
Yeah. So he pulls over for guys having car trouble. The guy knocks him out, steals his band, but dude does it breaking his hand. Like, that was gruesome.
Oh, that was a violent.
That was gruesome.
The shot to the head I saw coming.
Yes.
Especially when because I go, come on, Matt, turn around.
Turn around. Come on. Say,
oh, is that your boy in there? I got Mary over here. There's your boy.
Mary.
And then they hit him in the head. What are you doing?
Why are you hitting me on the head?
Harvey.
So when he comes to, he hears Mary tell him that he has to get back. So there you go. She finally has a line.
Yes. And I thought she delivered it excellent.
That he isn't going to make it. So their kid isn't going to make it. And he's a he.
Now, do you think he actually, she actually spoke to him, or is just him just kind of hallucinating? Because he had, you know, the trauma of not only getting hit in the head, which was a pretty good gash in his head, but the breaking of the hand.
Whew.
was gross. I was like, oh my God, how do you do that to someone? I got to get in. Because the only thing that mattered to that guy was he had to get in.
Karma is a bee, as they say.
Yep. That was going to be my name, Karma.
but, you know, I have a theory. I'm going to say it now. And hopefully I'm not stealing your crackpot theory. So there was this whole talk that Holy Wayne's baby was the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Is this baby the Christ to that Antichrist? Because it seems like it's a bit of a miracle baby in another way.
Oh, and Mary. Her name is Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Mary.
This guy's a man of God. They weren't able to have kids, but for some reason, she woke up for a few hours and impregnated her. So now there's this baby, and last season we had this Antichrist, and she, Lily, is in the same town as maybe where this baby will be born right now, or towards the end of the episode, under the same roof.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So
that's a great theory.
So was this baby given to them because it's to counter this possible Antichrist?
That could be it.
Just a theory, just thing out there. There was no hints or clues from HBO tweeted to me, I promise.
Well, I will go check Twitter to make sure that Jay's not stealing something. I just went on Twitter. Mary's baby is Christ.
Cristo. But anywho, so she says we need to get back to a miracle or baby isn't going to make it. But Kara's cables are severed, so he pushes her back to Jarden with a broken hand.
That's just wrong.
Yeah, it's tough.
I was just sitting there, come on, dude.
Yep.
But it's believable. I believe people would do that.
Well, and I like that they set up before that when he's trying to leave that's how obsessed people were with getting in, because it helps put that in your mindset that yes,
well,
people
they've
are
been
crazy
showing
to
that
get in.
They've just been hitting us over the head with it. So,
but again, it was good writing. They set that up before showing how it whips up. And what's funny is like me when he's like, "Don't pull over. It's probably some guy's trying to kill you or something." Us as viewers at home aren't that gullible, but you know, poor Matt.
Matt doesn't have the luxury of watching it at home.
That's true. We're Monday morning quarterbacking it for Matt
exactly.
Right now. So a man, as he pulls up to a jar, and a man offers to get him through the back doors. He says, "No, I live here. It's fine.
I live here."
He convinces a park ranger to let him get a new band from the visitor center. But for some reason, when he gets to the visitor center, he doesn't have any way of getting it there. He tries to call Nora, but he gets Kevin. And during all this, a guy trying to get married starts a fight with him.
Well, I thought the guy was just going to a wedding. Wasn't he just going to a wedding?
Well, they were all dressed up, and he had paperwork.
Yeah, I just don't think any guy's going to be that anxious to get over there and get married. So I think it's just a guy going to the wedding.
In your universe.
He said I have a wedding to go to.
Yes, but why would he need paperwork to go to a wedding?
Because you got to have paperwork to get into Miracle.
Yeah, that's true.
He's at the visitor center.
Yeah,
and I thought the guy was being really, and then he went too far.
Yep. But then you kind of see it again. Everybody's kind of almost going crazy, just trying to get into this place.
Right.
So Matt gets detained because he gets in a fight with him, and while he's waiting, a man tells him that she says that she has to get back inside or he will die. So
no, the first one said, the woman said, "Is she faking?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "What? No."
Yeah.
And that's when the guy said, "Oh, she says you get back inside or he will die."
So what's that about?
I don't know.
It's interesting. Somebody.
Is he hallucinating? Is this really happening? Is he still? It's just. I don't know.
Yeah. So John and Kevin show up, get him out of park jail, and he gets his hand mended.
I like how John came and said, "Come on."
Was he going to baptize somebody?
You got him. His hands bound together. Let him go.
But John gives him back paperwork that shows that Mary's pregnant, and he confronts him on her being pregnant. And he wants to know what happened, and he says,
"Well, John, Matt was put off by that."
Yes.
Did you go through her bag?
Yeah.
I think they did go through her bag.
Sure.
It didn't just fall out. And Matt,
well, that's kind of Johnny's. Like, he doesn't believe in any miracles. He doesn't believe.
And Matt knows it didn't fall out.
Yeah.
I mean, and Kevin's face in the background, when he said, well, pregnant? What?
Yeah.
His face is perfect.
Yep.
This whole scene, this was probably my favorite scene of the episode. I thought the acting of all three of the, and all of them were there, I thought was pretty amazing.
Yeah. So John's basically kind of doing his Inquisitor role here, and he's saying, basically, you know, don't tell me that she woke up and during that you made love and that's how she got pregnant. I need you to tell the truth. You need to say that you were sad and lonely and you did this horrible thing and you're sorry for it, et cetera, et cetera. There are no miracles. My wife lost her hearing and it hasn't come back, so God likes you more than her. So he forces him to lie about what happened. Then Matt asks why he's like this, what happened to him. He was like this before, you know, your daughter disappeared, and no offense, et cetera, et cetera. But then John replies with he doesn't think he can get those passes for him, and he walks out, thus kicking Matt and Mary out.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely something for John. He's just a non-believer, you know. He's the man of science to Matt's man of faith here.
Well, all Matt had to do is be quiet. But Matt, you know, he's saying, okay. Why are you like this?
Yeah,
I know your child disappeared. I get that. It's very, but you were like this before.
Yeah,
and that just set John. You get to see John's face. You know, it just was a perfect. I thought it was just a perfect scene.
Oh yeah, it was great. So Matt gets kicked out, but he asks Kevin for money. He goes back into the camp town outside Miracle. There's a man in shackles with a repent sign. What was that? It was like the gulag. What was that thing, you know, from the whatevers?
I tried not to stare at it.
It's just human anatomy.
I'm against.
Are you that much of a child?
I'm against male frontal nudity. I'm sorry.
But you're fine with woman frontal nudity?
No, I'm against all of it.
Ah, okay. Such a prude. Matt wants to help him, but he would have to take his place and. He can't do that right now because he's got to take care of Mary.
Didn't he say why? He goes, why? And she goes, why not?
Yeah.
Something like that.
So he talks to a big half-naked cowboy, and he finds out where Elmer is. So he meets Elmer, who's in the green-striped Winnebago, and he wants 1,000 to get him in there. Matt only has 400.
I'm right now, you never trust anyone named Elmer.
I agree. What, is he going to, like, glue you to something? So he prays to find an answer, and he sees a cross. So he goes to the lady who sets up the cross and asks money from her. She quizzes him about who he is and his faith. He says the Book of Job is his favorite book. She asks who's his wife's name, and he says she doesn't have a name, and she only speaks once. So maybe a little bit of a callback to his wife situation.
Uh-huh. Now, you do recognize the actress playing Sandy?
I did not. Who is she?
She's Brett Butler. She had a series on After Grace was a series.
Oh, wow. That was her?
Yeah.
Wow.
And also Grace Under Fire.
Yeah, I remember Brett Butler.
I'm looking. I went, whoa. So, that was her. It took me a minute to realize that's who it was, but that's who it was.
Wow. Okay. Also, Book of Job's is that's the classic. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff there, and I think a lot of parallels. For Matt's journey, so I like that that's his favorite book. She leaves and comes back with a bearded fellow, and she will pay him what he needs if he hits this guy as hard as he can and say Brian. He is apprehensive, but he needs the money. He does a couple.
Now, what was the whole Brian thing?
Maybe he killed somebody named Brian, or maybe Brian departed and he feels guilty,
or he molested a child named Brian. I'm sorry, the guy did something that he needs to be punished for.
Or he feels guilty for.
Right.
I mean, who knows? But it could be. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter why he needs it. He needs it. He's apprehensive, but he needs money. He does a couple of soft hits, but the girl says his wife could probably hit harder.
You don't mess with Mary.
So he hits as hard as he can and then yells Brian, breaks the paddle, and he gets his money.
Did he yell Brian?
Yeah, he did. He's like, Brian!
Okay, I didn't hear that. I just was like, wow, way to go, Matt.
He's 60 short, but Elmer will still do it. Asks if he's claustrophobic. He has to go through a drainage tunnel. Sometimes the other side is locked, so he gives him a chain cutter. And I thought it was just a really good scene where he's going up into it, and you kind of hear him praying, and he gets to the other end, right. And the rain just keeps coming down harder and harder and harder.
And he can't obviously use the bolt cutters. He only has one hand.
Yeah. So he tries to get it open, but he gets flushed out. So he tries to seek shelter, but gets shooed away. There's no room at the inn. But then Nora comes to the rescue. She put out an anonymous...
Nora's very quiet, the way she did it.
Yeah. She put out an anonymous tip that there were girls in the camp, but they don't check the trunk because resources are looking for the girls.
Right. Nora's pretty clever.
She
is. Even Kevin looked at her like, wow.
It's like, dang, girl.
Way to go.
On their way, he's talking to Mary about a trip they had when they had to share a tiny sleeper car, and she thought it was romantic, and that she liked to quote Yeats. So he starts to recite a poem, and when the car abruptly stops... and there was an accident. A car hit goats. Again, these goats.
The goats. And we saw the goat guy walking around, too.
Yes, he did, when he's going to the grocery store.
The guy just walks around with goats. I mean, I said, how many goats are in this town? Well, we found out there's a lot less.
The man is dead, and we found out it's the father that took his band.
Right.
So, karma came to bite him.
Yeah.
And he sees the son out in the woods. That's the tragic part there.
Right.
The son gives the band back. So he gets his band back. The kid gives him his. So Mary has her band. And Matt asks Nora if she can take care for her. He will be close.
But
that's
Nora's
a big
like,
ask.
Well, Nora's like, what are you doing, Matt? What's wrong?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I got to do something.
Yep. So we go to him walking with the boy John. With the boy, and John drives up, and he tells John what really happened, which is that she did wake up and all these things. She will talk again, and when she does, we will have a talk, which I thought was interesting. I don't need your band anymore. Please take care of this boy. His father is dead. So he walks into the camp, and he takes a place of the repentant and says it's his turn. While the song "No One Laughs at God" plays,
right.
I thought it was another like a really good episode. Like it's the show is not pulling any punches. Like it's just like, it's going full force, full speed. But at the same time, it's like really well paced. Like
it doesn't
feel like it's blowing through stuff, but it's like I don't know. It's just it's being daring and really tight at the same time.
It's daring. You don't, like I said, it has those things with like the goat. All of a sudden, well, there's that goat again. What's going on with the goat? And then, you know, there's an accident causing by the goats. You know, it just floats. Like you said, it flows.
Yeah.
From start to finish. I can't say enough good things about season 5. I keep telling everybody, because people, I don't know, I kind of gave up in season 1. Well, you made a mistake. Go back and watch season 1 and then go into season 2.
Yeah.
You will not be disappointed.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Another fantastic episode. Now, Matt's episode in the first season I thought was one of the best. Did you think this one was better than that one?
I did, yeah. Maybe because the whole season's been so good.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the way it was starting out, I'm like going, what? I go, oh my God, she's pregnant. And just the whole thing. And then when it got confirmed and I, you know, just was watching it, then he'd just see... how this guy just tries to believe in people, just tries to believe in. He's doing what we all should do.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there's guys like that guy that stole his wristband out there, and you have to be careful for yourself. But Matt's living the way we should all live right now.
Yeah.
We should.
Well, he's being totally selfless.
Right. But it's just not. That's just not the way the world is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and you can try and be like Matt, but you're going to get hit over the head. You're getting your hand broken.
Yeah.
And because people don't care.
Yep.
Not making us, I mean, that's just the way it is, but this was a fantastic episode. Might be my favorite.
Oh, wow.
And that's hard to say because all of them have been so good.
That's high praise.
Well, I just like to say the scene between John, Kevin, and Matt, especially Matt and John when they were talking, and just John's face when he tells him, why are you so angry? Why are you like this? And John goes, and you can see there was pain in his face. You can see there's something going on that we really don't know what's going on with John. It doesn't have to do with his. He was like that before.
Yep.
So there's something before his daughter was vanished or departed, whatever happened to her, that his face was just his expression in when he said, "I can't get you those wristbands anymore." And just turned around and walked away.
Yeah.
And then Kevin, "What the blank, Matt?" Which is Kevin's best line.
He drops an F-bomb better than anybody.
Yeah, but his look when he found out that Mary was pregnant, like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a great scene.
Very good scene. All right, well, that is what we thought, and now it's time to figure out what you guys thought with some listener feedback. Here we go.
Listener feedback.
Hey, Jay and Jack, this is Jared from Missouri, calling in with an observation and a theory this week. The observation is that there's a common theme in mythology, and you see it in Lord of the Rings and many other things, that usually the story begins when the magic is leaving the world. The Lord of the Rings, the elves are sailing away to the dying lands and all that stuff. Well, I think with the leftovers, what they're doing is they're kind of turning that on its head. And what we're seeing is that we're entering into a world where magic is starting to come about. In the first episode, you had that, John's character telling his friend that, "I've known you your whole life. You've never had these abilities." That's because I don't think these people have these abilities. I think, they're just starting to manifest them now after the departure. Just like how we keep meeting characters almost every episode that, are telling our characters things that are that they should have no ability to know. In this episode, you have that man telling him what his what Reverend Jameson's wife is thinking. The other thing that I'd like to mention is that Jameson mentions Job in this episode. Job, we should know the story of Job, and I'm sure you guys will recap it before you get to the phone calls anyway, but the story of Job ends when he says that he came into this world naked, and that way he'll leave, and he strips down his clothes and he goes out in the field, and then that's when God finds favor on him again and grants him his life back, essentially. And we see the same thing in this episode. Just some thoughts, and then Jay and Jack, hope that you're having a good day, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
All right, thank you for the call.
Yeah, I like that. I like the theory a lot and all the discussion. But when the guy said he was, you know, was basically reading what Mary was thinking, you think he would have, you know, Matt would have talked to him more about what else is she talking about? What else is she thinking? What else is going on?
I don't know. I mean, no? Well, it's one.
I didn't think about that till I listened to the call. I went, yeah, why wouldn't you talk more about that? Why would you sit? But I guess he did wake up and they did talk. So in his mind, he didn't have to, I guess.
Yeah. I also the Job reference, like that one that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. That's from Job. I don't know if that's a direct quote, but that's kind of where it comes from. Yeah, it's a lot of good biblical references in this episode. In our Facebook group, there's also some. I think where was it here? I want to make sure I get this right. So Susan has posted this on our Facebook group on the episode thread. This show is amazingly well written and well acted, but dang, it's depressing. In other news, tonight's episode contained lots of biblical references with Matt as a good Samaritan, as a Moses figure going through the water, trying to lead Mary to the promised land, and as a Christ figure at the end, taking on the sins of others and sacrificing himself. Then there's Mary's immaculate conception and the waiting areas of the time. Town was like a mountain day, Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, it's like a car.
There.
Definitely like that, yeah.
But no, yeah, good call. Good call outs there. All right, next time for the next call. Are you guys ready?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Steven from Colorado, just calling to give my feedback and a little crackpot theory on tonight's episode. I believe it was called No More Room at the Inn or something along those lines. But when Reverend Jameson is with his wife and he's trying to get the money to get the smuggler to get him a back door into Miracle, the woman asks him all these questions about if he's a man of God and asks him what's his favorite book of the Bible to
ensure that he is a man of God. And then she grabs her son, Reggie, or what, who we assume is her son, and she wants him to strike him on the back with an oar and say the word Brian, or say the name Brian when he strikes him. And I looked it up, and Brian is actually derived from an old Celtic word, and it means high or noble. So I think what she was trying to do was get a man of God to strike him with an oar and say the name Brian, therefore making him high or noble. So if there was another departure, he wouldn't depart. So she was maybe trying to protect her son. Maybe she lost some of her family or her friends in the departure, and she was trying to protect her son by having him struck by a man of God and calling him high or noble. I don't know. It's just a crackpot theory, and I'm sticking to it. Love the podcast, guys. Hope you have a good day. Bye.
All right. Thank you for the call.
That's a great theory.
That's an awesome theory.
I never even thought about that. I just thought it was some guy, like I said, did something wrong, and she was trying to punish him. And
see, that's you going to the negative, man.
Well, that's what I do. I'm not Matt. I said earlier, I'm not Matt. I'm not. Never thought about that one.
Yeah.
Can we erase the call and I just steal it?
No, because that's better than any crackpot theory you've had this year.
Whoa! Didn't I have something about Mary last week?
What was it? I don't remember what it was.
I can't either. Better speaking or something.
Oh yeah, I said she's gonna speak. Come on, really?
And then she was gonna die.
Yeah, not even close.
I was kind of hoping. Okay, well, so she's
this is a great crackpot theory in that it's a bit of a stretch, you know, but it makes sense. It seems legit, and it seems like that could really be it.
Well, it seems legit because we see how Nora acts, and we see how everyone's, and they're trying to get into here for a reason. The departure scared a lot of people. Some people didn't seem to faze them. You know, it is what it is. Okay, yeah, well, you know, but a lot of people have been fazed by this, and you can see that maybe that was it. She doesn't want her son, maybe it is her son, to be, you know, be the next to go.
So when we used to have two Lost podcasts a week, we had a crackpot theory of the week for the first episode, in which Jack would have a theory, and then in our second episode, which was really listener feedback heavy, we would have the listener theory of the week. I think I need to bring that back and coin Steven's theory, the listener theory of the week, this week.
Well, you have one more call.
I do have one more call, but that's a fantastic. I'm going to give it the old stamp of approval there. Very good job.
Because we didn't do our homework. So we've had two great calls, and both calls had better theories than probably I came up with. So
exactly. See, that's what happens. You stop listening. You stop quality checking yourself, and you know, things go south.
Well, I had a long week. I was in Baltimore. I just got back from Baltimore. I just got back.
Excuses.
Just got back. So
you gallivant around different cities. Going to IKEA, seeing Charger games.
Yeah. You know, I ran into a Charger fan at IKEA. He goes, hey. I go, did you go to the game? He goes, no. He goes, I enjoyed the loss on TV.
All right, let's go to our last call here. You ready?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Jay and Jack, this is Scott calling from Los Angeles. Just calling in about last night's episode. We finally got an episode centered around John Locke. Matt Locke. You know what I'm talking about. And so I thought it was a great episode, and especially the scene between Matt and John when Matt asks John, you know, what happened to you? And my crackpot theory is that people did depart from Miracle, and John knows it, and the town is trying to cover it up. And so one way this could play out is if it is all a matter of geography, then perhaps there's some prison, you know, either close or within, you know, Miracle town limits, where 2% of 9,200, however many people, is about, you know, like 180-ish people. Maybe they all departed from this prison and, you know, John knows it, and the warden, the mayor, the town, they're all sort of exploiting this and covering it up because, you know, those people have pretty much departed from society anyways. It's pretty much, you know, the same thing as whether they left or not. So maybe they're exploiting the town for financial gains in that respect. So that's one of my theories. And this whole matter of it being all about geography sort of seems like a cop-out to me. If it was this way, I think it would have statistically shown itself pretty quickly to any smart person, like scientists from MIT or whatever. Because, you know, think about it, like more than 2%, more than often are going to, you know, depart from like an NFL game. But out in the sticks in Montana somewhere, there's going to be more than often less than 2% of people in the more sparsely populated areas. So I think this would have like already come about, and people would have already been, you know, onto this type of thing, not 3 years later, but like 6 months later, they would have figured this out. And so to me, I think it's not a matter of geography. People did depart from Miracle. John knows it, and people are trying to cover it up. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. All right, keep up the good work, guys.
All right, thank you for the call.
Yeah, you know, and then go back to the first call, too, that, about the magic being so important. Like,
yeah.
You know, Isaac, you know, he didn't know how to do that now, and then we don't know who that one gentleman is.
Yep.
I'm drawing a blank on the character's name.
Virgil?
Virgil. Suddenly he knows how to do that. The guy in the visitor center knows how. I mean, suddenly people know how to do things they didn't know how to do. And this call, it's a great theory. I do think that I agree. I don't think someone – I think people did depart. What if John had somebody close to him depart from Miracle, and that's why he's acting that way?
Yeah, I like it. I like the theory because it makes sense. It makes sense why he doesn't, you know, believe.
Right, why he doesn't believe, because he said there are no miracles in Miracle.
Yep, and that's his tagline.
His wife also believes John because, well, she knows that someone probably departed too. And that's why there's no magic. There's no miracle. That's why he's trying to get these people out of there. All three calls have been excellent.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think maybe that's what John's anger is. It's not, you know, obviously his daughter is gone for now. We don't know what happened. She probably departed. But did John have someone else depart? That's why he says there's no miracles. Ever since he came back, he's been upset. His wife said last week that he's been upset. You know, like he said to Matt, he goes, "Oh, so your wife was able to, you know, was healed, but my wife has lost her hearing and never came back. What makes your wife better than my wife?"
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very Jack and Locke dynamic, and I like to call out the Locke in this episode. It's very much that Locke's character was his tragic flaw in a lot of ways, that he was a man of faith and believed these things happen, and, you know, definitely.
The difference was John Locke is no Matt, because Matt's very Matt cares about people. John was selfish. John cared about whatever he had to do.
Keep it up, the Locke hate till the end.
I just got to set it straight. But that's what we got to focus on. Who did John lose? Who did John lose from Miracle that is so important?
Well, here's the thing. Like, would you even know, right? Because it seems like if that would be the case, and I think it's a legit theory, it could very well be that, would we even know who it is yet?
No, we wouldn't, but it has to be – there has to be some clues there that we're not seeing. I mean, they're hitting us over the head. I mean, if you think about it, Matt said, "What happened to you?"
Yeah,
you know, his wife from last week said, "Oh," and Kevin said, "Yeah, no miracle's a miracle." Yep, that's John's line.
Yeah,
I mean, John believes it. I mean, you can see in his face something happened. I mean, obviously he was in prison, which is a bad thing, but since he got back, you think nothing. This is a great place. I got a second chance at life, but he's. Mm-hmm. He's angry, and he seems to be running the. He also seems to be running the show. He walks into town. He walks in. He gets. You know. He's able to do things that other people aren't able to do. And this guy he came back after it happened, and he got out of prison. How has this guy got so much power?
Don't know. It's true though. Well, maybe we'll get his backstory in one of these episodes.
Or maybe he was a man of God before. I don't know.
There's a lot of different ways it could go.
He's an interesting character.
That's for sure.
That's all I could say.
That is
a lot
for sure.
Like Locke.
We have an email here as well. This is from Joanne. It says, "Dear Jay and Jack, I think Moses, the bearded man on the tower, which we have affectionately named, did see Patty, which makes it all even more interesting. He did not say, 'Who are you talking to?' which I agree would be ambiguous and perhaps indicate he did not see her, but he said, 'Who is your friend?' in a tone that certainly makes me think he saw her." Thoughts?
You just never know if they're messing, because we don't know who this guy is. We don't know if he's crazy or you know, he's getting food from, you know, is he still getting food?
Yeah, I assume.
Well, I don't know. They seem kind of busy, preoccupied.
Yeah. Hopefully.
People forget he was up there and said, hey,
it's like, hey,
I'm up here.
Hey, I'm
up here.
I'm still up here.
Hey, Kevin, can you have your friend give me some food?
It'd be nice. Oh, man. All right. Thank you so much for the feedback. As we always say, your feedback is what makes the show great. So thank you so much for calling and emailing in. And, of course, taking part in our episode threads over at facebook.com/group/JandJackGroup. Without any more further ado, I believe it is time for Jack's Crackpot Theory of the Week.
I don't think so. After those three calls, I don't think I want to. We should do my crackpot theory first,
and then
the call, because this happened a lot during the lost days. I'd be like, "Well, that's great. I got to follow this."
This is the salvo in the bow of your ship here, right? This is a chance for you to say, you know what, I got to step up my game.
You know, sometimes you know, Mighty
less
Casey
IKEA,
strikes,
more crackpot theory.
Sometimes
theorizing.
Mighty Casey strikes out. Like I wanted to go to IKEA. That's like, oh please, can we go to IKEA?
You didn't put up a fight. All right, now let's go to the crackpot theory. All right, what do you got for us?
All right, the whole episode we had, you know, Mary saying, to, Matt thinking that Mary was saying, you know, you got to get back into town to save him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the guy in the visitor center, you have to get back in to save him. And I think it was said another time too, wasn't it?
Yep.
Because Matt was saying he had to get back in to save him.
Yeah.
He. And we're all thinking it was Mary's baby.
Mm-hmm.
No. It was the guy, either the guy in the car or his son that he had to get back in to save. I know everyone's going a different direction, but I think differently. That's why me. That's why I got a degree at crackpot theorism. So that's what I think. That's what I thought from the start. I go, it's too easy to say to save the baby. It's to save the
kid.
Is
it a baby cheerleader, though? Save the baby cheerleader, save the world?
Yeah, no, it's not that far because that led to nothing. So. So no, you just want to. I think it was to save the boy. First, I thought it was to save the dad, but I think he had to go in there to save the boy.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did is he sacrificed himself. Remember, he gave John the boy.
Yep.
And he went and you know did his thing. So I honestly I think that's my crackpot theory that's what they were hinting at to save the boy, not the baby, because you know they used to do that on Lost all the time and stuff, Mr. Wrecked.
Yeah,
so I'm not buying
herring,
it for a second. Yeah, I'm not buying it for a second. It was to save the boy. And that's my crackpot theory, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, well, there you go.
You can argue with me if you want. I won't back
But it doesn't
up.
Matter. It is what it is.
It is what it is. I say what I want. Even though I can't remember from week to week what the theories are, but I knew I had something about Mary last week.
Mary.
Then the whole episode's about Mary. I'm like going,
misfire. All right. That is it for this.
Well, Matt didn't, obviously.
Who? That is it for this week's The Leftovers with Jay and Jack. You can give us a call at 385-309-0311.
Calling time.
So that's 385-309-0311. Calling time with any questions, comments, and or theories. Also, you can send an email to LostPodcast at
gmail.com.
It's against LostPodcast at gmail.
gmail.com.
Also, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/JandJackGroup. Join fun TV show thread discussions on shows like The Leftovers and many, 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 many more.
Would it be better if we had one of the callers that called tonight do this part that you're doing right now? Because they seem to be a little more fluent than you did. You seem off just today.
Listen, if you want to deflect because your crackpot theories aren't better than our listeners' theories,
by all means. Hey, look, I don't care. I'm a team player. I'm like, whatever. You know, if you want me to play, you know, different position, my manager would say, hey, can you go play short shirt? Can you go play second shirt? Can you play the outfield? I really don't want to play the outfield.
The regular Charlie Hustle.
I'll play catcher. I'll play anything in the infield. I'll do. I just don't want to play the outfield. But no, I'm okay. If someone has a better theory than me, I'm all for it. Makes the show better.
Okay. So at the end of each show, we want to send a special thanks out to some of our patrons that contributed at a very a significant level that helps us do what we can do every single week. And that goes Attack from Tokyo, Eric Eckhart Richter, and Chris O'Brien. Big thanks to all three of you. And a big thanks to all 91 of our patrons, which you can see the full list over at jandjack.com. And you can become a patron today and contribute to what makes our shows possible over at patreon.com/jandjack, patreon.com/jandjack. Check it out. And without anything else to say or put in there, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next week for a new episode of The Leftovers. Very excited about it. Until then, hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.